Now, for those of you who've been on our mailing list in times past and have not perhaps received one in a while, we, being good stewards, we clean our list up about once a year. So if we don't hear from you or, you know, hello or something like that in a year, why, you're not on the list anymore. But in the back table, as you roll to your right, there's our most recent newsletter. And if you take this, I want you to understand that this was sent out the Wednesday prior to the Orlando tragedy. Do you understand? It was not a response to that. It was sent out prior to it. And the title of this particular newsletter is Think About It. And really, this is kind of going to fit a little bit in with what we talk about today. Staying afloat while Sodom sinks. Staying afloat while Sodom sinks. And we quote from different scriptures, mainly 2 Peter. And then we point out that wicked nations exist on borrowed time. In that we point out that some of the nations in the Middle East, for example, that we are involved with, and so on, at one time were nothing more but a blip on the map, but then they were great. They were great powers. But sooner or later, for the nations that turn their back on God, once again, they become bit players. The other thing is, and this is rather troublesome to me, really, because God's people seem to be so vexed. And I hope if you stay for the second session, which I know many of you do not, you'll understand, number one, you should be vexed. You should be burdened. But if you're discouraged, the Lord needs to forget, you need forgiveness from God. Because Jesus Christ has overcome. He's the overcomer. Okay? And we need to make sure that we're fighting the right battles. We need to make sure that the other point is a drowning soul needs a helping hand, not a scolding. No lost, sin-sick soul will ever respond and say, oh, I'm sorry, I did that. No, it's the power of God, and it's our living for God effectively before Him. Then I put on, what can we do? Resist, reject, and return to prayer. And my final statement is this. And as I put this down, you have to remember, and I'm giving away my age, but in the 60s, we were going through quite a struggle, as you know, culturally. More than one occasion when we were going to Bible teaching service, we would leave our Bibles on the front row to make sure that we had a place reserved. That was the mindset in many of the churches that I was involved with. And we did that all the time. I mean, I think maybe not quite ethical, but we did that because there was that zeal. My closing statement on the newsletter, after I share with you how I think we should be and what we should do. And by the way, anyone who thinks I'm a pacifist, you just try breaking in my house at night. I am not a pacifist. But we must be instructed, obedient, and subservient to the Word of God. Just recently, someone shared with me a thing about a frog. You probably all know this. He has a frog in his house. He's got frogs all over the place. Frog in his bedroom. He said, don't you know? He said, yeah, frogs. Fully rely on God. Kind of nice. Frog. So you're looking at a frog. My closing statement in the newsletter, and by the way, if you want to receive this, just sign. There'll be no financial appeals at all, and we're glad to do this. Saints living in Sodom need to wake up, pray up, and look up. These are not dark days, because I firmly believe when those are put in place, we will, by the Holy Spirit, light up the darkness. Right now, very few people are listening to us. I don't blame them, because we're losing the invisible war. We're losing. We can restore that power, but it won't happen until we wake up, pray up, and look up. This morning, I had to tell you this. You know, I went to church. I have nothing wrong with Christian comedians. Do you understand that? I love to laugh. But I'm behind the pulpit, frankly, most of the time it's very serious. I can't help that. It's serious. Where a soul is, I don't even like to tell jokes about, you know the jokes? Oh, these three guys are on the ballpark playing golf. One was this, and one was that, one was this. And they went to heaven. You know, no, to me, you know what? Where a person's going to spend eternity is serious business. It's serious. Tons of stuff to laugh about. Just come out of our place and watch my wife and I try to take care of that ranch. You'll be able to laugh for the rest of the year. But we do live in dark. Anyway, I was on my way to church after that had happened, and there's nothing wrong with this, but it so happens I saw, I think I may have shared with you, a big sign on this huge church. Don't forget, $20, come Christian comedian tonight. And you know, it just hit me the wrong way. Are we ever going to wake up and realize what's going on in this country and within the churches? I know it's good to have a shot in the arm once in a while to laugh, because there are a lot of burdens, and please, if you're a Christian comedian, don't take this the wrong way. But folks, these are dark days, and I'm concerned that most of God's people have no clue. It's very visible. Your prayers are appreciated. But I want to tell you something. It will get worse before it gets better. There's no question. It will get worse. I want you all to understand that nothing I say to you this morning is to be taken as that I don't want you to be a good citizen. I do. We all need to be good citizens. That's nothing more than an outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives as being good stewards. But I want you to understand that all the while these things are going on that you see on television and you read the newspapers, and it will, there's no, I can't understand, and I can't really sing God Bless America anymore. I can't. I could sing God Be Merciful to America. That's up to you. Point is, all the while that's going on, and we're moaning and groaning, and rightly so, below the surface, for the souls of men and you right here this morning, there's an invisible war like moles gnawing away at our young people, gnawing away at the older folks, gnawing away at the Bible-believing churches, gnawing away at the very foundations of our faith. This war is real, though it can't be seen, but it's invisible. So the invisible war, I want to explain this to you as well, the invisible war. Now, some of these things that I say this morning are going to be, ooh. But remember, Psalm 119, 105 tells us, what? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if after the service you find anything that I have said after the service, real strong, that's not rooted in the word, you let me know. But as far as I'm concerned, we, even in Bible-believing circles, too frequently are responding to impulse, to emotions, or trying to view things in some other lens other than through the clear teachings of the Word of God. So take heart. I don't know where you're coming from this morning. I don't need to get on social media this morning and some of my views of that, but I'm on that. But it's amazing at how some, even Christians, seem to be adrift, not sure what to do. Oh me, oh my. Don't be that way. Thy word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. There's not a day, doesn't matter your age, how young you are. Now, listen, when you hear about the enemy, when we get in the second session and talk about the first enemy, this is introduction, you'll be surprised. I got an encyclopedia here. We'll be quoting from Ann Landers. The battle's raging. But guess what? The Lord said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So on the one hand, we need to be realistic. We need to understand that there is a tragic war going on, even in our members, and we're not fighting it the way we should at all. But the moment we look to the Lord and start trusting Him, victory is assured. Maybe not the victory you have in mind. The elections may not go your way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something far more important. I'm talking about something that has eternal values and life in view. It's a wonderful thing to know that we can be a frog. Fully rely on God. All right. In these four sessions, I hope I've made it clear, no problem with questions at the end of the fourth session. And if you've been to all four. Unless providentially held out. Here's an overview of what I hope we might get to today. Number one is at stake with the invisible war. Who are the real enemies? Do we really know who the real enemies are? Some of you clearly don't. How is this attack taking place? Oh, it's so subtle. How is this attack taking place? What are the objectives of our enemies? What are their objectives anyway? Is it as simple as who gets elected? Is that the ultimate? That's important. But that's not the objectives at all. What should be our objectives in this spiritual/invisible war? What really should be our objectives? What should consume us more than anything else? Not that difficult, really. And finally, if you don't understand this now, nothing I say will change it. Why do I say we must not delay? That we don't have time. The Bible says, in the last days, there should be wars and rumors of war. And we in America have always looked around, and you know, we've seen that happen elsewhere. And now I'm telling you, though this is not my theme, I'm not talking about governmental issues, but war is raging there. And all I'm saying is that as sad, as tragic, as dismal as that may appear, there's a far more serious war going on below the surface, and we need to start winning because the stakes are very, very high. Now, in our introduction, let me just start out by saying this. I really hate to do this. I mean, I deal with pride. And we all do. But I was involved in the cultural civil wars of the 60s. Whoa. Okay? I call it a cultural civil war. It was a civil war. That's what's going on now. You may not know that. But I was involved in that. And at that time, I was a leader of several conservative organizations. We met in our home with the blinds drawn back then. And what I did is, because I was a leader, so I had to read a lot. I think I read about 5 conservative books a week. Several stand out. One of them was None Dare Call It Treason by John Stormer. None Dare Call It Treason. Boy, is that pretty applicable. Another one, I probably gave out by my own hand over 1,000 of The Conscience of a Conservative by Barry Goldwater. And you know what happened then. But then reviewing all those books that I read so that I could be in the know, one jumps out at me now more than any other. It was called The Invisible Government by Dan Shmoot. The gist of that book was this. While we were all fighting the powers that be and wanting to win, which we should, and you know, on that level, on the human level, you want to have your best candidates win, those who are more closely associated with values that will honor and glorify God. I'm not in a moment. But they must never overshadow the invisible war. And hey, what he was trying to tell us back then is keep in mind while you're fighting below the surface, there are tens of thousands of bureaucrats that are never elected, that have no accountability to you, could care less. They're the ones that write the speeches. They're the ones that formulate doctrine. And they're the ones, you have these talking heads that get up there and they espouse their views. But remember, and since we lost in the 60s, we did lose. Most everyone in leadership and all the bureaucrats, there are wonderful exceptions, have the mindset, they've gone to college, they have the mindset of what we were fighting in the 60s. Okay? So, it's incumbent on us to realize that this is a great point. Do what you can. Do the right thing. But remember, there is an entrenched bureaucracy of nameless faces that you will never know or ever meet. Some of you might in some of your dealings who are invisible. And they are the ones that far more, State Department would be one. Council of Foreign Relations would be another. But since the 60s, HUD, EPA, on and on it goes. Why do I emphasize that? Because on a more serious note, the Bible teaches there's an invisible war going on, spiritual war. And if we fail to deal with that, if we simply get all caught up in this other stuff, we could win the elections and lose the war. Because the way this country goes, matter of fact, sometimes God's people win the spiritual war more firmly when things are tough. Keep that in mind. But for our subject today, later today, and I think the 31st, we will be discussing what the war is, what we should be doing, and what the enemies are. They are so subtly. Now, we all know they're working under Satan. You do know. You do understand. Satan is the prince and power of the air. This is Satan's world under the allowing providence of God. I thank God that in His grace He's left so much beauty. But don't forget, this is a fallen world in which we live. We are aliens. We really are. So you shouldn't have to be to work to be strange in this fallen world. It should come quite naturally. Turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, I would appreciate it. I'm going to give you time. Some of you may use different versions. That's perfectly fine. I use the King James. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at verses 14 through 17. This is something we need to be reminded of constantly, that we are, as Christians, you know, we don't say this. You know, you get saved, you come to faith in Christ. Oh, by the way, I want to let you know you're now a soldier. You're now involved in an eternal battle for truth and righteousness and to bring glory to God in a world that's in rebellion? Probably that's not the first lesson you should give, but it should come. Ephesians chapter 5, notice with me verses 14 through 17. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I don't know what's happened this morning, but usually as I travel around and preach, you see folks there, and you know, they're dead. There's nothing you can do to wake them up. But you all seem to be fairly awake this morning. That's pretty good. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, measuring your time, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that really all that matters? What is God's will? Aren't you glad he gave you the word? I don't know how much time you spend in it, but you need to spend a lot more than you are probably. Now, it's interesting, you know, every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Every word of God is pure. And I like this, the way it goes on. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in it. No, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. While this book is not God, it is God's word. And so, therefore, when I put my trust in God's word, I am actually trusting who? God. I'm trusting God. That you can't separate the two. All right, so Ephesians 5, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is concerned because he's writing to God's people. Remember, 90% of the word of God is written to God's people. He says, wake up. Start using your time better. And then, and I'm so glad I discovered this. And then we go to chapter 6. Turn with me, please, to chapter 6, and let's look at verses 10 through 19. Finally, in other words, he's assuming they're awake now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is such a thing. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having all done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is, you know, there's praying, and then there's just crying out to God. Supplication. And I hope that we will be people who cry out to God and not simply a day of prayer. Sorry. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then I love the humility of Paul. He's saying, and now pray for me, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Is there anyone here this morning, if you really be transparent and honest, Is that not a prayer for you as well? It is for me. I'm somewhat encouraged when such a wonderful saint of God as Paul, I mean, what a man of God, would say, pray for me. I really am not speaking the gospel out as clearly as I need to do or as boldly as I should. Oh, and again, I'm up in years now, but I really do not live in the past. I'm too busy in the present, so you'll probably hear more about my past this morning than you'll ever hear. But I do have to reflect because I think it's gone downhill since the 60s. And I don't mean just the country. I mean the church. When prayer meetings were prayer meetings. When dear old saints and young saints would stand up with tears streaming down their cheek and ask you to pray for some lost friend or relative. I don't mean that was a perfect day, but we've lost something. And we need to regroup. I don't know, folks, you want to thank God that we still have the freedom. Because again, there is this war in the world going on. We still have the freedom to meet freely. Let's take advantage of it and let's grapple with spiritual matters. No one's going to do this for us. No good politician who is a great guy but is a Christ rejecter is going to be able to do this for us. This is spiritual conflict. And I'm happy for, I mean, I know some of you know me, will know I'm not diminishing the one, but I do, for example, I do shudder a little bit when I say, well, if we're going to get elected, we must not talk about biblical values because that's not going to win. Well, if that doesn't win, we lose there, but we win in the spiritual war because we've stood up for God's word. I'm wholly inadequate for the message I'm bringing to you today. And I know that. Bear with me. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm just drawn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my, and I want to say for those here who are born again, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Oh God, keep us tight in the fold. Keep us from straying. Keep us from going to grass on the other side that looks good, but help us, Father, to feed on the Word and to be subservient to the Word. Give us courage. Give us backbone. Give us integrity. But most of all, oh Lord, may we truly live for You. Living or dying, and may we engage in the conflict where eternity is involved with zeal and zest. And when the tears come because of hard hearts, may we still go on because, Father, Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning for a few moments here, our orders are very clear. I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. I've so designed this that I can stop anywhere I want, so we will be out here in time. Half an hour for you to decide where the Lord wants you to go next. And by the way, all that matters is God's will, not mine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. This means the body of faith, that which we believe, that which we hold to, that which the Word of God talks. Everyone, the youngest, the old, all of us are being challenged in the matter of the faith today. We'll show that later. Some of you dear homeschoolers who are doing such a wonderful job. I didn't know a thing about that. I had no clue. I would have done it. Imperfectly, of course, but I would have done it. Look at kids laughing. They know that. Number one, they know their parents are imperfect, and they know I am. That's good. I appreciate that. But remember this, and this is not criticism. When they go off to a public institution, you're sending them off to indoctrination centers. That's okay, as long as you know that. We will show that later. Probably won't get to Dewey and the father of all the education that you are sending your children to today, which is okay. I go to Walmart. That's not Christ-centered. But I know that. Just know. Know. Be informed. Oh, I look at these precious young people. I am excited for you. This is a wonderful time to be a Christian. What great opportunities you have to show the watching world that Christ makes a difference. But you need to understand, that's not going to come easy, because below the surface of all the things that are going on, gnawing away through the eye gate, through the ear gate, through your other friends who don't know the Lord, they don't mean to hurt you. You're intaking constantly, daily, 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 thoughts and attitudes and positions that are contrary to the Word of God. All I'm trying to get across to you is know that. Be aware of that. Not to run from it. Be aware of it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. People need to know. I've got eternal life. My hair is receding. I've got eternal life. I'm going to have a full head of hair up there. I'm not really sure. Doesn't matter, does it? But what matters is I must never allow myself to be so earthbound that people who meet me and get to know me think that this is all there is. There's more than that. Lay hold on eternal life and hold it up there before the watching world. It's exciting. Now, there needs to be. Okay. The challenge is, you have a choice. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith or I'm going to not. It's up to you. I have no control over that. I'll show you, we won't get there now, but there's been such a travesty of people who have turned from the faith after 4 years of college. I guess it was never there. But we need to have a strategy. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. All right, it's one thing for me to get up here and say, you need to fight the good fight of faith. And maybe if I can do it with enough gymnastics and all, maybe even it'll touch your heart a little bit. No, it won't. It might touch your ears. But you need a strategy. There's a strategy to living the Christian life. There's a strategy to fighting this invisible spiritual war. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, once again, it breaks my heart to read on Facebook, Christians I know, some I'm working with, who lament the deplorable condition of their life. It's discouraging. And my heart goes out to them. It really does. But when that continues, it tells me one thing: they're not strong. Things are wrong in my life. Things are wrong at everything I touch. There's no perfection. Isn't it interesting in Ephesians 6, Paul says, finally, my brethren, what? Be strong. And now, there's a strategy. I realize if you're sitting here this morning, now you may not even be saved. I want you to know something. Everything you hear this morning is about the wonder of salvation, the wonder of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He gave his life for you. And now, if you've come to faith in Christ, you're an ambassador for Christ, and you should want to live for him. But if you don't know him, please come to know him today. Please. But anyway, it starts out, and here we go, 2 Timothy, my Bible turn, chapter 2, once again, looking at verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong. How many here, don't raise your hand. How many here go to the gym? Work out. Well, now I'll brag a little bit. If you come in our house, we have what was a bedroom. We turn it into a family room. It's probably about the size of this platform. And you have to really squeeze to get in. Because there's a walker, there's an inversion table, and there's what's called a stepper. And there used to be weights in there, but the grandkids kept tripping over them, so they're someplace else. You need to take care of your body. You need to try to be as strong as you can, because your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's on that level. Whoa, let's go on the deep levels of your spiritual life. You need to be strong. Be strong where? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's only the grace of God that we're here this morning. God didn't say, oh boy, you know, this here family, they're so sweet, they're so nice. I'm going to guide them to hear the word of God this morning. Or he didn't say, well, Don, you know, Don and Faye, bless their hearts, and I thank you for your sweet comments. But it's all grace. It's all grace. Let's just say for a moment that the Spirit of God speaks to one person here this morning. And rather than just listening to what I've said, like when you go to a concert and you hear a wonderful, you really love the brass section. And if you're like me, you love the kettle drums. And as you're going out the door, you're talking about that. But then when you get out on the pavement, life goes on as normal. How wonderful it would be, and I hope it happens, that one of you, actually drinks in, absorbs the Word of God today, mulls it over even right here as you're listening, and decides, I need to take some action on this. Now, because I'm vain and I love to know what's going on, then give me a call. No, you know, you don't have to. You let the Lord get all the glory. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. And you're strong, by the way, when you feed on the Word of God. I wonder what's going to happen, if it surely will, if there's not a turnaround. One day, you'll not be able to gather here at Grace. Some people I know would not have a clue as to what to do at home, because they've never worshiped God in their home. There wasn't time. Be strong. We all need to be strong. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You're not a perfect church. You thought you were, but you're not. But you're a great church. The reason I'm not here more than I am is because there are churches out there that need to be encouraged along these lines much more than you do. I thank God for the teaching. Terry, I'm not sure where it was. It's Monday night? Is it here? Morning, what time? 10. Okay. Verse 3. I won't say that. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Greek word for soldier is strateiotes, a variation of that, from which we get the English strategy. You got to have a strategy. Do you have a strategy? You know, I mean, maybe I'm weaker than you. You don't need it. You know that I don't mean that, of course. But in the morning when I pray for myself, I go through, okay, Lord, I mean, it's like a business meeting, only I'm, you know what? My king is my father. Wow. You know, my king is my father, and he lets me get into his throne room every morning. I am special. And so are you if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I come to my king, my father, and I say, Father, I've got this to do today. I've got that to do today. I want to do this today. And this situation here, I'm apt to lose my temper. Help me, Lord, here or there. And I go through the whole day. I have a strategy for living. I don't always live up to what I should. But I came in the latter part of the Korean War. I never went there. Went to Germany. Wasn't that nice? And but the Korean War, the Vietnam War, no. I have all respect for the men who have served in those wars and for the men who are serving now. But I would stand with MacArthur. If you don't have a clear objective of winning, then don't be there. Don't be there. Do you have an objective? Do you have a strategy? Each one of us now is dealing with individual. We're all different. We're all weak. My wife and I talk. We're so different. And it's good. It's a good thing. But we all need to have a strategy, a plan. You just don't get up in the morning, walk out into the world. I want to talk about the world. Not now, maybe later today. You do have no clue what the world's doing to you. You have no clue of the wisdom of the world in pulling down God's people. You don't even know. I know you don't know it because I observe it. You need to have a strategy. If we're going to win, and I would like to see it, and I think really, candidly, I think we need a small revival, and it's got to begin. That's what it will be. I don't mean a worldwide thing. It's not going to happen according to the Word, but we can, as a group of people, we can get back to the Word. We can get back to falling in love with Christ is what it boils down to. It really does. But we have to have a strategy. Believe me, Satan has a strategy. This is good. I won't run out of time. For my next points, which I should say, I love you all, and I know over the years you acclimated to... For those who stay for session number two this morning, we're going to talk about the three objectives that you should have as a Christian as you grapple for God's glory in this spiritual war. And if you will put these three objectives consistently before you and live them out, because we're not. I'll show you, we're not. Oh, we come to church. We put in our time. We don't talk like the world, unless you're on social media. You need to be smart. Father, I thank you that you have given us the written revelation called the Bible. I thank you for the living Christ who died. And Lord, right now, if there's anyone here that does not know you, oh God, I pray that you'd pierce their hearts, show them from your word, we're all sinners. Show them, Father, that you love them. And show them that if they're broken and ready, then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then when they do, may they enter fully into the wonder of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.